Public News Service Thursday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. President Donald Trump late Wednesday signed into law a funding bill to end the longest federal government shutdown in U.S. history. That from CNBC. They report the measure, which will fund the government operations through the end of January, was passed by the House earlier Wednesday night in a 222-209 vote. Meantime, the end of the shutdown will restore SNAP benefits, but Massachusetts farmers are still struggling to get by.
The SNAP program is a vital source of revenue for both farmers and local food system businesses, and some are already reporting a more than 50% drop in sales at farmers markets this month. Caitlin Arnold-Stefano with the Farm Aid Hotline says she's heard from farmers whose own SNAP benefits have been disrupted and are in need of emergency funds to make it through the month.
I'm feeling very concerned about just the general state of farmers in the country and how they're going to be able to keep going and hold on through all of this.
Two federal judges have ruled the Trump administration is legally obligated to fund SNAP during a government shutdown, but experts warn it could still take weeks for benefits to be distributed nationwide. More than 5,500 farms and markets in the state depend on SNAP-related sales. I'm Catherine Carley.
And Ohio small businesses say a growing interest in American-made products is helping strengthen local manufacturing as the holiday shopping season gets underway. A new national poll shows most consumers prefer goods made in the U.S., and several Ohio companies are featured in this year's Made in America gift guide.
One of those companies is Kikilu House of Style, a Cincinnati-based apparel brand designing and producing small-batch clothing through Sow Valley, a zero-waste nonprofit garment factory. Founder and chief style officer Kimberly Anderson says she launched the brand after years of styling clients and noticing a gap in quality, long-lasting clothing for women. She says keeping production at home was a conscious choice, even when cheaper overseas options were available.
I could have made my first million had I offshored. This is a passion project. I'm okay with that. Why? Because I really want to speak to the people that maybe are saying, is college for me? Maybe the trades are for me. Maybe setting up a factory. The skills of the people that work at my factory are off the charts.
Farah Siddiqui reporting.
Next, a new report shows how a developing system called agrivoltaics has the potential to offer what supporters call a much-needed economic option for Wisconsin farmers. Asher Salkin with the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis authored the report and says the relatively newer dual-use concept integrates farming and solar panels on the same land.
The solar panels sit on top of the crop, shade-tolerant crop, pairs well with a solar panel, and then on top of that, there's also a solar grazing where you kind of just put solar panels on top of a field where sheep graze on.
He says the system addresses land use conflict while offering economic benefits for farmers, project developers, and for rural communities. This is Public News Service. This Saturday is America Recycles Day, and the nonprofit Paint Care is making it free and easy to get rid of the leftover paint in your garage or shed.
According to the Product Stewardship Institute, 10% of U.S. house paint purchased each year, about 80 million gallons, goes unused. Rather than throw it out, Californians can bring it to one of more than 80 drop-off sites around the state, many in hardware or paint stores. Terry Marsman is California Program Manager for Paint Care.
Recycling your leftover paint is easy and convenient. If you need to visit a drop-off site near you, please visit our website at paintcare.org. 99% of California residents live within 15 miles of a drop-off site, so there's likely one close to your home.
Many of the drop-off sites are available 7 days a week, year-round. I'm Suzanne Potter.
And in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene, churches in western North Carolina became critical lifelines. Their impact continues today.
The devastation from Helene is still affecting the region, but in the initial days after the storm, needs were acute. Although the surrounding Ashe County was hit hard, Western Jefferson United Methodist Church emerged relatively unscathed and was able to set up the day after the hurricane hit with hot meals and a reliable place for power and running water. The church, like many others in the region, became a hub for accepting and distributing supplies. Pastor Blake Smar says immediately after the hurricane, it was a safe place to process the shock of the storm. And the church still holds Thursday dinners where people of all different backgrounds gather to talk about Helene's impact.
It's times like this and in moments like these where we realize we were always tied together in some way. And it's important to acknowledge that and to name that.
Smar says his church also contracted with the county and made 400 bag lunches per day for a week and a half to help people in the community. While more than a year has passed since the storm, Smar and others in the region are planning for recovery efforts that are expected to last for years. I'm Eric Tegedoff reporting.
Finally, Washington State's Wildlife Action Plan is being updated. Residents have until this Sunday to share their thoughts on species or habitats they want to see prioritized.
The State Wildlife Action Plan serves as a blueprint for the state's conservation efforts and gets updated every 10 years. Andrea Wolf with Conservation Northwest says just like other projects the government undertakes, it is important for the public to make their voices heard.
If you support things that are happening or funding that is going to be going to different projects or species or areas, that is definitely welcome. And then also any criticism. So everyone comes at it with different expertise and knowledge.
Wolf says unfortunately, many wild areas of the state are in need of attention, and highlights the Colville National Forest in Northeast Washington, where her organization has been focused on reintroducing the Canada lynx. And people can read the plan and submit comments through the WDFW website. I'm Isabel Charlet.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.